Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to develop a positive-minded outlook and have you better equipped for life and business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you will put into your backpack and grab when you need it. This week's tool is the fabulousness of festivals and why it is important to participate in them in your life and for work in order to be able to regenerate by removing yourself from the daily grind, which enhances productivity and problem solving as a result and leads to connectivity with those in your life and those around you. Being able to find that fun of a festival is what I will demonstrate to you that you can do, and that being able to do so is a great tool for your brand. I remember one day we'll go to rehab or back to Argentina. It's not that far away any day now. Let's hope that someday I'll play my concertina to an arena full of people. Or I dream my life away, dreaming of the day. When I find my girl, love will be amazing. Champion sound. When I find my girl, love will be amazing. Champion sound. Lollapalooza, Coachella, Burning Man, Glastonbury, ACL, Bonnaroo, Electric Forest, Electric Daisy, Electric Zoo, Tomorrowland, Ultra, Pitchfork, South by Southwest, Nelsonville, Awakenings, Confest, and on and on and on. What is this gibberish coming out of my mouth? That is the name of festivals. If I were to sit here and actually name them all, I would not be able to do so in the span of 30 minutes. Chances are you've been to one, but in today's world, you certainly have heard of them. Why are festivals so popular? There are a number of theories, some good, some bad, and one that is marvelous. Let's get to the nitty-gritty first. Okay, so first off, they have an incredible ROI. You pay just a little bit more than you would for a one-band plus opener concert, and you get to see tons of musicians instead, with an incredible variety of genres represented. The sound and visual experience is usually of very high quality. And the current truth of the music industry is that very few artists have entire albums that people want to hear or bother listening to. So seeing multiple artists perform a handful of their best work is where contemporary listening tastes sit. Social media participants promote festivals and people want to be seen at a festival. And there is no commitment to anything in particular, and you get curated works served to you, which for some speaks to a feckless and fickle generation of music listeners. You can find countless articles like the one in the Huffington Post claiming all the reasons why festivals, or as they refer to them, super concerts, have swelled to the point where we have over 800 festivals in the U.S. alone and 3 in our city of Columbus just this weekend. But that does not tell the rest of the story and wonder of attending a festival. There's something about festivals, whether it's a giant joyous party or a respectful honoring of tradition, a seemingly bizarre adherence to ritual or a celebration of camping, a festival is a uniquely human thing to be involved in. We get together to dance, sit, eat, laugh, drink, dress up, light fires, take our clothes off, roll around in mud, just about anything, and we seem to like doing it in really large groups with endless enthusiasm. Festivals are life-affirming and take our desire to have a good time with friends and family to a global level. They continue to thrive because they ignite curiosity and help to promote understanding, compassion, and a greater acceptance of other races, cultures, and traditions. After all, what is a holiday if not a festival? In the book, Festivals, Family, and Food by Diana Carey and Judy Large, each holiday is treated as a festival, and perhaps the bucking against these traditions for a new generation also feeds the need to create their own with their own kind that they can celebrate with. Want to start a festival? There's a book for that. Festival Planning Guide by Betty Luck will help you find your ticket to putting a festival into your life, and all the books and articles on our program can be found in our library on wcbe.org/programs/u-inc. You can also catch our podcasts of UTune and UInc on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as with our sister media group, CitySceneColumbus.com. Lonely Planet has even gotten into the act, releasing their top 50 festivals as well, and as they put it, to blow your mind. The only drawback that I can see that would keep a person away from a festival are the large crowds, but that is part of the fun. But if you cannot channel that feeling, then let me tell you from personal experience that I have attended about 100 festivals myself, and all the big name ones you can think of a couple of times. This past year, I attended Coachella again, and let me tell you that they have gotten so good at the audiovisual experience that you don't feel like you have to get close to enjoy seeing and hearing the artist. If you are interested in learning more about that tech, check out the article in the OC Weekly, The Technological Wonders of Coachella. But generally speaking, the experience was very relaxed. The greatness of a culture can be found in its festivals. That is a quote by Siddharth Kathragada, a self-described writer, filmmaker, artist, and poet of Indian origin. Hey, yeah. Aaron Corrigan is a visual communicator, event organizer, marketer, brand ambassador, leader. She is passionate about realizing visions and shaping the future for organizations and our community, including sparking ideas, developing brands and operations, and generally making things happen. One of the things that she has made happen is the Festival Darling of Columbus Independence Day Festival. Ms. Corrigan was formerly on the board of the Ohio Art League and is currently the chair of Music in the Round, a fundraising event that is a storyteller-style concert that has raised tens of thousands of dollars for various causes locally and abroad. She is just finishing her 10th year on the board of the Short North Rotary, having served as the president as well. She is also the digital marketing manager at Donatos, and for all of these achievements, she was nominated as one of Columbus's people to watch, and we can listen to her here today. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Good. Independence Day Festival started as a bootstrap festival and turned into a three-day event. This is the 10th and last year. In an article in the Columbus Underground, it states, and I quote, "What exactly this means is still up in the air as they focus on Independence Day 2017, but they are hoping to show this year's festival attendees how future events will look. One of a kind, once only performances and art pieces. These smaller projects can take place in any neighborhood and may even cater to a specific discipline, like a dedicated day for city chefs." Can you tell us a little bit more about what we can expect in terms of these smaller events?
I think a lot of what there is to expect is really the unexpected. Mm-hmm. You know, part of that is because there is a lot of TBD still with what we're going to be doing next year. Mm-hmm. And we are focused on this year. We haven't really figured it out yet. So it's a blank canvas right now, which we're excited about. But I think the biggest thing to look for is that we will be really embracing opportunities to bring up new ideas and embrace risk and change.
I like it. And, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the program, we talked about festivals getting bigger and the reasons and things like that. And you also recently attended Rock on the Range. So in terms of your experience as an organizer and a participant, do you think it's time to deconstruct these festivals?
I think festival organizers, to some extent, now have a challenge when it comes to putting together a festival, because there are so many festivals that are so similar in format. It's like, put some stages out there, put some bands on them, get some food trucks there, you know, put some visual art pieces. And, you know, where does it go after that? And, you know, things like Riot Fest have added Ferris wheels and things. And so one of the things that differentiates one festival from the next is often like where it's held. So it's fun to travel to different places. I think the first time I went to New Orleans was for Voodoo. And it's great to have an excuse to get somewhere that you I can't say I wouldn't normally go to New Orleans, because now I will normally go to New Orleans anytime.
But it's an opportunity to experience a new place and then maybe realize, wow, this is a great place to visit again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I just went to, after Coachella, we did Nelsonville and we did Movement. And when I was at Movement, I just kept doing this to my friends. And for those who can't see, it's like a hand going over the other. So I feel like festivals have jumped the shark a little bit. So I was really excited when I was reading about, you know, the fact that you guys were conscientious of that and that you were consciously uncoupling, so to speak. So I'm really excited about the fact that you guys are thinking about doing some of these risky and these new things. I think it's something that's, you know, very much needed. Okay. One of the other groups that you are a part of is the Babes Who Brunch. And that's, you know, these are informal gatherings. What do you think makes them important, other than the fact that we're here because of that, right? Because we're both in that. What's important about those types of informal type gatherings?
For me, that particular group is, it's not a group that I, it's, there aren't even that many individuals in the group that I see on a regular basis. So it's about, you know, strengthening, you know, some existing like loose connections and tightening it up. And also just meeting new people. Then even discovering there was, you know, one woman who's in the group who I've run into on several occasions, and she volunteered at one of the events I was volunteering for. And we just keep bumping into each other. So it was fun to hang out on a non-volunteer, you know, serendipitous.
Right. I love serendipity. It's my favorite thing. Okay. So you describe your feeling for what you do in Music in the Round as love. What does a storyteller style concert mean exactly, which is the work that you do with them?
We adopted the phrase storyteller style concert because of VH1 Storytellers. So we were trying to communicate. It was very difficult in the beginning that we always, every year, it used to be that we had a different beneficiary. We always have different artists every year, even to this day. And nobody knew what Music in the Round was. So when we were trying to market this event, we were trying to tell everybody what the event is, who the people are. And a lot of people don't, you know the local musicians that we would have. And then the ones who do generally will go out and see them during the week rather than when it's expensive at a fundraiser.
Right.
And then who the beneficiary was. And there were times where people didn't know who that was because it was either a very small organization or it was somebody new. And it was just too much. So one of the shortcuts we tried to take was to say, okay, VH1 Storytellers kind of communicates that there's this intimate setting, that there are people sharing stories and the things that they were thinking about when they wrote the songs. So, and it really is, there are times during that show you can hear a pin drop. It's not like being at a bar. It's a totally different experience. So.
Yeah, if you've ever been to Nelsonville and you ever go to the Lo-Fi Cabin, it's exactly like that. It's amazing. Like Marissa Anderson was there the other day and telling us how, you know, she was like, she was in the desert and then she plays the song and you can hear, you know, you can hear what she was seeing. It's amazing. Yeah. So that's what you guys do. I love it. It's wonderful. So your Twitter handle is at Rotary Erin. And then Rotary Clubs, for those who may not know, they're service organizations that bring together community leaders and service to the community. And do you actually meet weekly, on a weekly basis?
Our club does not. Many clubs do. It depends. We were on a pilot program. Rotary realized that some of the things like attendance requirements were a little bit too much for people who, I mean, we're all accustomed to very flexible schedules and life just happening when you're making other plans. And so we were fortunate that we were one of the first clubs to say, all right, we're going to meet twice a month in the morning, and then we'll, you know, make up our other together time by doing service projects and social time, rather than having, you know, okay, Monday night you've got a board meeting, Tuesday morning you've got a meeting, Thursday night you've got a social. It's like, that's too much.
It is.
Especially for our club, because we're one of the younger-ish Rotary clubs, and so there are a lot of new parents, things like that, and people who just have extremely stressful jobs because they're trying to make partner or whatever. And it's just this point in time in people's lives where it's just, we need the flexibility.
Right. And I just think in general, people are overscheduled, you know. So what would be the difference between a Rotary and a civic association? What would be that difference?
Rotary is a service organization that was founded in Chicago. It is worldwide. I have a friend who loves to say, or used to say, I guess, that, you know, if he ever was in trouble in another country, he wouldn't call the consulate. He'd call Rotary Club. And it's kind of unbelievable. I've gone to visit clubs in other countries, and they're one of the Kyoto clubs in Japan, their vice president took me out to a fancy sushi dinner and a piano bar and everything. And so it's, people will really bend over backwards for you because you have this thing in common, the premise of which is service above self. It's a great way to learn about what's going on in the community, too, because we have speakers who come in and talk to us. We recently had Mike from Project Blues come in, and that's an amazing event. If I can plug another event that isn't a festival.
Right, sure.
But that's coming up in August, and it's just the best kept secret in Columbus. So, but yeah, we hear all about, like, we've had Leukemia and Lymphoma Society was in recently. Wild Goose Creative came and spoke. You name it. We have really great speakers. I think we have the Recreation and Parks Department for the city is coming in.
How does one start a Rotary Club if they wanted to?
Well, first, it helps to be a Rotarian. So I think you would probably need to join a club that exists. And there are clubs in pretty much every locality you can think of. And some of them have two, depending on what time of day they meet. Some of them have the sunrise because they're before work, and some of them are lunchtime. Every now and then you find a happy hour one. If anybody's interested in starting that, let me know. You would go through the whole learning the ropes of the organization, and then there's, I'm sure, a whole procedure as to how to spin off a club. But mm-hmm. they do encourage that because, you know, like any organization, they want to keep growing.
And right. Sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, so tell us where we can find more information about Independence Day and then about upcoming events for Music in the Round and then Project Blues. So some of those mm-hmm. things, tell us where people can kind of get some more of that information.
Well, the Independence Day website is thisisindependent.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those fun things. And Music in the Round also has a website, a Facebook page. It's musicintheround.com. And we are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And then for Project Blues, I believe they do have a Facebook page. And I know they have a website because you have to be able to buy tickets through it. Projectblues.org.
I did look it up. It's very interesting that to taking, you know, sadness and grief and really kind of turning it into something, you know, very useful, I mm-hmm. guess. You know, it was a very interesting project that I was looking into. Okay, so you're quoted in an article in The Alive saying, "You've got to have passion more than anything. You just got to be excited about things, really excited, like you can't sleep at night kind of excited mm-hmm. about it." What are you currently passionate and excited about?
Vacation. Well, I mean, honestly, I'm actually pretty jazzed about Rotary right now because we are about to leave for the international convention. This will be my third one.
Wow.
That was talk about large events where you're making an excuse to go somewhere. I went to Sydney and São Paulo to attend the Rotary International Conventions.
Wow.
Within the last couple of years. And this year it's in Atlanta. So my objective was to lead by example and convince some other club members to go because we haven't really sent that many people or like had that many people want to attend. But these events will just blow your hair back because, you know, the one in Sydney, it was like probably the production value is just incredible. The speakers are so inspiring. This year we've got Bill Gates is speaking, Ashton Kutcher speaking.
Wow. They're Rotarians?
You know, I think, I'm not sure if Ashton Kutcher is. Okay. I know Bill Gates is. So the Gates Foundation had made a sizable contribution, or it was a matching contribution to the Rotary Foundation to help finish eradicating polio, which is an effort Rotary's been leading for the last 50 years. And it sounds insane if you're not familiar with Rotary or if you're not in it, but there are still three countries left where it exists mm-hmm. and it's still causing kids to not be able to walk anymore. Mm-hmm. And there are still people dying because they're out there trying to administer these vaccinations. And it's a thing we can beat and we know we can beat mm-hmm. it. And so Rotary is very dedicated to finishing the task they started. And then once that's done, they have other areas of broad areas of interest that, you know, and that's the other thing I love about Rotary is that you can really pursue things that are important to you mm-hmm. because things that are Rotary projects, they're concerned with things like literacy, things like health, and they have these very broad sweeping categories. Mm-hmm. So pretty much anything you care about probably fits into and what could become a Rotary project.
Okay. And so, you know, thinking about these, you know, large gatherings and you know, thinking about that article that was in the Huffington Post about the difference between a festival and a super concert and that festivals can even be, you know, the holidays that we have and that kind of thing. Would you agree that, you know, these types of gatherings can be considered a festival and that they're healthy for people to attend and it's good for the spirit, so mm-hmm. to speak?
Oh, most definitely. I think that with anything, it's probably good to do it in moderation. I know one feature I saw at South by Southwest, which I totally love because I have a lot of people close to me who are extremely introverted, but they have these little escape escape room means something else now. But these little places, these little oases where you can go if you're an introvert and you're feeling overwhelmed by crowds and just the expanse of the thing. Because it's very difficult for some people to be in an extremely crowded place for extended periods of time or even at all.
Right.
And I just thought that was a really nice feature for them to introduce.
Is it just made for one person? Because I could see other people trying to come get squeezed.
I'm not that introverted. I didn't go in. Okay. It seemed to me like there were little nooks inside the space where you could just go and chill and be quiet and read a book if you wanted to.
Right, and like get the sensory away from you a little bit. Okay, that's great. Do you have any bunnies?
Do I have any bunnies?
Yeah.
My parents have a rabbit. I unfortunately am incredibly allergic to rabbits.
Mm.
And this is something that has only... I've always been allergic, but it's only gotten really bad in the last few years. So it's a lot of sneezing.
A lot of sneezing.
It
looks
hurts.
You're almost ready to sneeze. Love hurts. So one of the languages that you have put down is Pig Latin. I love Pig Latin, by the way. I don't know why more people don't do it. It's so easy to do. But do you think, and one of the other things that I saw that I found was interesting was Star Trek and Star Wars. Which one is nerdier? Which was the actual answer to that one?
Nerdy's in the eye of the beholder, I think.
That's good. That's really good. So what's, other than this weekend coming up, what's another big project that you're involved in these days that you'd like to share with us or anything you'd like to share with us?
I'm waiting for the next thing that I'm excited about. And my struggle is that I get excited about everything and then I try to do it all and it's exhausting.
It is.
And it's not healthy. So I'm really trying to figure out what it is that I can do and be sustainably excited about so that I'm not burning myself out.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm excited to take a break.
You know, I think that's a good word for you to use, sustainable, because I think that's one of the reasons why going to festivals, you know, doesn't have to be the super concert type, but getting away and being in that environment with other people who are collectively there for the same reason can be really refreshing and recharging and can kind of inspire some of those, you know, aha moments like, oh, this is what I want to do next. I feel excited about this. Like when you saw those like little QBs at South by Southwest is another good example of that. We talked about in the beginning of the program about festivals getting bigger and the reasons why. You recently attended a festival and you are a festival attendee in general. So in terms of your experiences as an organizer and as a participant, do you think it's time for festivals to evolve?
I think there's always an opportunity for festivals to evolve. One of the things that I've always enjoyed about Independence Day or just event organization in general is that there's always a way to improve it. With my background in design, I'm always looking for new ways to solve problems and new and interesting things, ways to do things. And, you know, so I think if you get people who think like that together when, you know, to organize an event, that it's going to evolve on its own one way or another. And, you know, at some point it has to, because otherwise it's going to become stale.
Right. Sort of like jumping the shark.
Yes. And the other thing, too, is that volunteering for festivals is a great way to learn more about different things that you want to be doing or different people that you wouldn't normally be around. And so I've learned all kinds of new skills and done things that I never thought were humanly possible, much less possible for me. And so, you know, some of them aren't fun. Like I've had to learn QuickBooks. I'm not a fan of that. But some of them are, you know, things that you can take back to work or, you know, other things that you're doing.
Absolutely. No, I think that's a great point that you mentioned. I'm glad you talked about it because, yeah, that's a really great way to experience a festival is like, be a part of, you know, making it happen. Like volunteering at ConFest for me is one of my highlights of my year. And like you said, it's skills that you get in terms of meeting people, being exposed to new things, but also a lot of things that you can take back to work. That's a great point.
Yeah. And there's so many different levels of involvement. So you can be doing something year round, you can do it for a day. It's flexible. And it's nice to give back and do something that you believe in.
Because having meaning is important in terms of like overall happiness, because there's like these studies that being happy is not enough. You have to have meaning in your life. And this is a one way of, you know, volunteering, being a part of something that's charitable, having meaning, feeling that you're useful. There's a lot of benefits to that. Okay, well, I wanted to say thank you very much for coming here today. And really appreciate the Independence Day Festival over the past 10 years. I know Columbus loves it. I know I've been to it many times. I've loved it. Loved its location when it was on Gay Street. Loved its location in Franklinton. And so this is going to be your last year. So are you? What's the thing that you want to kind of say as a goodbye with the Independence Day Festival? If you were to say something to Columbus about that?
Oh, it's not a goodbye. It's mm-hmm. It's an evolution. And you know, the thing is, I think that one of the things that I'm excited about is it seems that even before we announced that this would be the last one, there have been other festivals sort of springing up because, you know, this our whole thing has been, it's been very DIY and very, all right, we want to do this, so let's just do it. And other people have seen that and approached some of the organizers and said, hey, I want to start something. What do I do? That to me is really exciting because I think some people are doing some really important things. Mm-hmm. And that I think that there is maybe some more value in. So one of the founders of Independence Day, Adam Brulette, likens Independence Day to a dandelion where, you know, now that its heyday has passed, it's actually going to blow off and the seeds will go and become other things. So Independence Day is always with you, Columbus. It just is taking different forms.
I love it. Well, thank you for coming here today and helping us evolve in terms of festivals and what we should be doing with them. And I'm looking forward to the seeds, what's going to grow from that. Thanks for coming. And now, a word from our person on the street.
So, Lori, tell me your thoughts on festivals. So, on ComFest in general, in particular?
Just in general, festivals, having them in your life.
Great. So, festivals are a great opportunity to meet your neighbors. You never know who you're going to run into, and then you see that you have interest in common, like music or the organizations that are coming out to support the festivals. I think it's a great way to get to know your community because there's always vendors there that you may not have known about or that you may not have ever seen before. It's a great way to support local because all those vendors are your neighbors and small businesses, and it's a great way to come out and support your community.
And are you part of any festival?
So I volunteer at ComFest and I volunteer at Hot Times. And I help my little neighborhood. We're doing a national night out. So on August the 1st, we'll be having a little bit of a teeny little festival to invite our neighbors to have a picnic together.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for that. In the meantime, happy ComFest.
Happy ComFest.
Thank you.
Want to be on the radio? Well, here's your chance. You Inc. will be recorded live at ComFest this Sunday at 2 p.m. by the lovely gazebo stage. Join me, Rhea Greif, as I help you wield the tool service and how it can serve your brand. We want to hear from you about You Inc., and you can also be our person on the street. That's You Inc. live at ComFest, 2 p.m. gazebo stage. Grab your beer mug, a blanket, and get you some edutainment. And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.